Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are podcast hosts, not experts. And we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or mental health professional as needed.
And if you would like to reach us, our voicemail and text number is 781-591-0390, or you can email us or send us a voice memo at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mentioned on the show. Follow us on Twitter at forever35pod. We're on Instagram at forever35podcast. You can join the Forever 35 Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/forever35podcasts. Password is serums. And you can also sign up for our newsletter at forever35podcast.com/newsletter. Kate.
Yeah, story. Yes.
I mean, I want you to tell our listeners all about your adventures in rediscovering your 90s adolescence.
Okay. So my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, was attending a birthday party for a friend and wanted to buy a gift. And the friend had recently gotten her ears pierced. And so my daughter wanted to buy her friend some earrings and had asked to go to Claire's. Now, we live very close to a Claire's, so we slapped on our thickest masks and we went to the mall and we went to Claire's. And while I was there, I was like, oh, I have been meaning to, I have a fourth, I have one ear that had 5 piercings and one that had 3. And the fourth piercing in my lobe was like half closed. And I had been doing the really bad idea thing of icing my ear and then trying to push the sharpest earring I could find through the hole to re-pierce it. Trigger warning, content warning. Sorry about that, Dori. And it wasn't working. And I was also getting a little squeamish. Now, I never like pierced my ears with a safety pin as a 12-year-old, but I know many people did. And I have gotten pierced at some pretty like shady, like boardwalk tattoo parlors in New Hampshire, you know? So I was like, oh, why don't I just get my ear re-pierced here at Claire's? Like, I don't need, normally I would like, you know, if someone were getting their ears pierced, I would be like, let's find a really, like a doctor who also, you know, like a pediatrician who also pierces ears, or go to a tattoo parlor where they do it right. But look, my hole was half pierced. I had just watched the salesperson do it on another person. And I was like, they know, they can see the dot. All they have to do is just point the little ear gun right over the hole and and shut it, you know, like a stapler. So I did it. I pierced my ear. I re-pierced it, I should say. So I wanted that hole to come back alive, and I couldn't do it myself, so I did it at Claire's. Yeah. I have a little tiny white, like, cubic zirconia up in that fourth hole. My daughter was mortified.
Wow.
She was like, yeah, yeah. There's a thing that happens around the age of like 9 where they really do get embarrassed by you. And, you know, I remember feeling it, and I was certain, like, I would never be a parent who was embarrassing, but my kid was like horrified. And I almost got another hole in my other ear. And she was like, don't do that. Just do the one. Like, I think she wanted like one and done and get out of there, mom. Or I don't know, like, is it embarrassing that your mom is getting her ear pierced at Claire's? Probably. I would have been embarrassed if my mom did that.
I mean, I'm trying to even just like put myself back in that scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, at some point I was like sitting in the chair and she was like all the way across the store. And I was like, come here and hold my hand.
Oh my God.
And she was like, okay. And I took a video of it because my other daughter wants to get her ears pierced but is scared. So I took a video of the person piercing my ear just to kind of show what it is like. And it really was not bad at all. So.
It's funny because we saw each other on Saturday night and I noticed that your ears were really like sparkly. I think you had like 4 holes in each ear.
I have 3 in my right and I have 4 plus the top cartilage in my left. And I do wear almost all of them. I do wear earrings in almost all of them.
Yeah.
The time.
And I was like, I meant to say something because I had never noticed.
Well, we also like never see each other in person anymore.
That's true.
So like you're dazzled by me because
I was. I was dazzled by your ears. So it was funny that you actually had gotten another hole.
Well, and it's interesting because I haven't had something pierced in a while. And like, I forget that you've only had your ears pierced and then you didn't wear the, I mean, I know you had a whole incident in which earrings did not work for you. So you've never had any other body part pierced, right?
I had my nose pierced.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
In what, like 1998? Oh my God, nailed it.
1996.
Oh, 5. Okay, sorry.
96, actually. It was the spring. You're right.
And how long did that last for you? How long did you
have a nose? Not long, because it got infected, obviously.
You know, I feel like that's your karmic punishment for not getting mosquito bites.
It probably is. Oh, by the way, I should bring this up. Someone DM'd me that my small vein theory is bunk.
Oh,
they
no.
Like, I mean, they didn't say it quite like that, but they were like, I also have small veins and I get like bitten to death. Someone else said that it has to do with your blood type and that if you have type O blood, mosquitoes like you more.
I do. I think
you
I'm
do?
O- I think I'm O. What's the universal one that can give anything?
Is it O? O positive?
O positive? I think that's what I am.
So.
I'll
oh
have to
gosh.
Double check on my Red Cross app that I use for blood donating. Okay. Yeah. Well, look at that.
Okay.
Now we understand.
We're starting to solve the mystery. I forget what I am. I think I'm B positive, but I'm definitely not O. So, okay. This is interesting.
This is interesting. We'll get to the bottom of this without a scientist.
Yeah, I've been told what my blood type is 100,000 times.
Of course.
I never remember. I'm actually going to text my mom because she is really into blood type for some reason.
Does she know your blood type?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, she does for sure. Or maybe she doesn't. I don't know. I just remember she's always talking about blood type. She says B, definitely.
Well, she already responded?
Yes.
Wow. My dad takes like 5 hours to respond. How? Well, you know, you can, if you donate blood, you can, they will tell you. And I have the American Red Cross blood donor app on my phone, which has all that information.
You know, I am sorry to say that I've never donated blood because I just am so I so hate having my blood drawn because of my stupid veins that I just have never done it.
I think that's okay. There's other ways that you can give back to the world, you know?
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's if you don't feel comfortable, you know, not everybody's gonna do it.
It's true.
Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat.
Incidentally, and maybe this is not for the podcast, but that reminds me, I keep meaning to ask you, what was the result of your gluten throat clearing thing? Okay.
Well, in typical me form, I received a referral for a gastro doctor, and I haven't gone. I have to make the appointment. I did make dentist appointments last week for myself and my children. I did do that. But I have to do this gastro appointment.
It's funny you brought up the dentist because that is actually where my son is at this very moment.
Oh, he is good. Mm-hmm.
Because he had a little mishap at the playground on Saturday and knocked out one of his teeth.
Yep. Yep, he did.
So
every parent's not what you want to be doing.
Not what you want to be doing. And like, ultimately, I assume, unless Matt gets back from the dentist and is like, he needs surgery. Like, I think it's just a cosmetic issue. It's not like I didn't need to rush him to the ER or, you know, do anything drastic. But, you know, I am sort of mourning it. I mean, he's only 2.5, so he will have this until he's like 6.5 or 7, probably, before he gets his adult front teeth. So that's a little jarring, not gonna lie.
is it kind of adorable, or is it like what is it? I mean,
well, so you can't really see it like all the time. It's really just when he sort of like laughs or opens his mouth wide or something, but like,
yeah.
Just like actually talking, you can't really see it. So you kind of catch a glimpse of it every so often. And I mean, since it's only been like 2 days, I'm still sort of like taken aback every time I see it. So, you know, it's a little intense. I did post on Twitter about it, and a lot of people responded to say that this had also happened to their kids at a young age, and you just kind of get used to it, and it becomes like they're cute and it becomes a story. But yeah, so I'm just sharing that because it was very overwhelming to kind of deal with.
Oh my God, I bet. Well, especially because that's one of those wounds. I don't think superficial wound is the right term, but it's like one that bleeds a lot.
Yes.
That itself can be very terrifying.
Yeah, it bled a ton and then just kind of stopped. Oof. And he was like fine and wanted to continue playing. And then later on that day, he got like a little more, it seemed like he was sort of like in shock and had some trauma over it. And then the next day he was totally fine. But yeah, there was a lot of blood. I had to throw out a sweatshirt. It was just, you know, it was a thing. It was one of those like, oh yeah, things are going to happen to my kid and I'm just going to have to like roll with it. And well, I can't protect him from everything.
Well, that is the hardest thing I feel like I'm constantly relearning as a parent or as an anybody. You know, like all this shit is so out of our control.
Yes.
And that is the worst part about life, I think.
Totally.
I mean, maybe it's also good. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah.
Oh, you just opened like a real can of worms for me in a lot of ways. Mm. Like, no, in a good way, but I just think like that is such a deep truth about stuff. And like we often are fooling ourselves thinking we can control things.
Yes.
Right?
Totally. Totally.
No matter if you had Henry, you know, like in a harness, like strapped to the playground structure, shit still, like, there is no way to stop stuff from happening.
And totally.
I'm just going to keep saying the same thing over and over again until it sinks into my head.
It finally sinks in.
Well, it's so hard. Don't you feel like you're constantly searching for that feeling of like, oh, I've got this under control. I've got this.
Yes. 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 I do feel that. I feel that very much.
Well, let's take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we have a variety of content, but we're gonna talk about prods and then some relationship questions from listeners.
All right, we will be right back.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. All right. We have returned, and we're going to kick this section off with a voicemail.
Hey guys, Caitlin from Texas. So I was doing my nighttime skincare routine. Also, I'm talking slow. because I listen to the podcast at 1.5 speed. And when I hear myself, I sound like a deranged person. So I'm talking slower so that it's less weird. If you play it, obviously. Okay, back to the point. I was doing my nighttime skincare routine, and I've been thinking about, like, you're not, or you're supposed to go up or whatever to avoid wrinkles. I don't know. But that's hard for me. Like, my brain can't figure out how to make that happen with, like, a moisturizer situation. Then I was like, what if I change the pressure? And then I realized that I've been, like, pushing it in or something with the moisturizer, not like a serum. So I was calling to see, what pressure do you guys use to put on your prod? Is that something you've ever thought about? Is there a right way? Also, is there a way to make my brain understand how to go up with things? Okay, that was fantastic. Thank you. Bye.
Do you go up with your products?
I go up with my Biologique Recherche because they are very emphatic that you are supposed to go up. Everything else, I don't.
No. I feel like, look, I think I've talked about this before, but I don't wipe the right way when I pee. Like, I don't wipe the way that you're, quote, supposed to. And, like, I know it, and I've tried to unlearn this behavior, but I just instinctively can't do it. And I kind of feel like it's the same with the way you put on your face stuff. You know, you see, like, if you watch a YouTube tutorial, they're like, people are like smacking their faces and rubbing up toward the forehead. But, like, do you really do that in the comfort of your own bathroom at like 11 o'clock at night when you're so tired?
Yeah, we need to know.
Yeah, I don't. God damn it. But you know what? Oh, yep, Dory, go ahead.
We've made it this far.
We haven't. I would say, like, don't get too hung up on it, because I think we put a lot of onus on these things, like, oh, well, that'll just make the difference.
Yeah.
And you know what the real truth of life is? Nothing makes the difference.
Yep.
Time keeps on ticking.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever way you put your products on, like, I know someone's going to tell us, someone's going to call in and be like, yes, you must swipe up on your face. But, like, we can let this go.
Yeah.
We can let it go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Also, like, the pressure. Do you put pressure on your face?
I make sure that stuff sinks in, but I'm not really applying pressure, I don't think.
I'm not either, although I do love to give myself, like, some kind of, like, smacks. Gentle smacks.
Oh.
Do you ever do, like, little smacks? Like, little, like...
No, I don't.
I do. I don't know,
like,
why.
Like, patting. Pats.
Patting. Yeah, I'm not, pats. Like, full on. Yeah. Yeah. Just little pats on your face. Like, little taps, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Just feels good.
Exactly.
Well, let's shift gears.
Let's do that.
This is a lengthy email from a listener. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'll get right to it. Is it possible to get better at kissing? And why is kissing so hard to describe? I, she, her, have been with my husband, he, him, for over a decade, and we are currently trying to rekindle our diminished sex life. Pregnancy and childbirth, having a young kid, being on an SSRI, and being with my husband almost constantly during the pandemic have all taken their toll on my libido. He's been so supportive and faced his own issues too, and has never made me feel any guilt or pressure. We are intentionally trying low-pressure hookups, and I've been trying to use them to rediscover what I like so that I can clearly communicate what works and what doesn't. The problem is, I love making out, and this rekindling period has reminded me that my husband is not a great kisser. I used to be able to tolerate it because we'd breeze past kissing and quickly move into other things. But those other things have had to take a back seat for the aforementioned reasons. I've tried to, quote, reframe this as us not having good kiss compatibility, and maybe I'm partly to blame. But I just can't get past the feeling that I want him to be a better kisser. I haven't kissed anyone else in almost a dozen years, but had much better kiss compatibility with former partners and often got compliments on my kissing. I want to be as specific as possible in what he could do, in what he could improve, so I don't sound like I'm just criticizing, but kissing feels so instinctive and is so hard to describe. How do I find a fun, sexy, yet kind way to say, please move your mouth on my mouth in a different way? Even in the few romance novels I've read, I feel like the kissing is only either described as hard or deep, neither of which are helpful in this scenario. I thought about putting together a YouTube playlist of all my favorite movie TV kisses and making him watch it. Shout out to Nick and Jess from New Girl Forever Number One. But I'm not sure that would help either. Is there hope that people over 35 can learn to be better kissers?
What a fascinating question that we have never gotten before.
Ooh. Well, I don't. Okay.
So what's your take, Kate?
I want to say that I do think people can learn how to be better kissers, but this listener is right in that you just kind of kiss how you do. And I can actually remember the worst kisser I ever kissed. Like, even just thinking about it now, I'm like, ooh. I mean, I actually can remember a few really bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ruins everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a couple thoughts. I do think you can bring this up with your partner. And I think the way you do it is like, oh, I would really love it if you would try this.
I like that. I like
that. Now you have to come up with the this, which is hard because this is such, kissing is almost kind of cerebral, right? Like, how do you describe how you want to be kissed unless it's like nibble my lip or like stick your tongue really far and hard or, you know, like.
Yeah.
So maybe some broad directions. Mm-hmm. Like, I like a lot of tongue. Can we try that tonight?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like this.
And then my other thought is that maybe in this rekindling process, you move on from the kissing and you get to the stuff that you do feel like your husband and you are really compatible with and go there.
Yeah.
Is that a bad advice? I don't know. Is that an avoidance technique?
I don't think that's bad advice. I think that's good advice. It is such an interesting question. Like, how do people learn how to kiss? And it makes me wonder if your husband was like not that sexually experienced before. Although I think there are people who just go through life as bad kissers. But is that because they don't have like self-awareness or no one ever tells them? Like, are good kissers people who just like instinctively pick it up, or has someone instructed them?
I truly don't know.
I don't either.
Like, was anyone sat down and taught how to kiss? I wasn't.
No, I wasn't either.
Like, you just kind of hope you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Ugh, this is tough.
This is really tough.
Because you want to be into kissing your spouse.
Yeah.
I actually like this listener's idea of putting together a YouTube playlist of your favorite kisses and just be like, I would really love to like make out this way. Although like, I'm wondering like, what's happening on New Girl that you and your husband aren't doing? Like but it's worth showing. I'm just curious. I agree. They had very hot chemistry, but like, yeah, like the same way that couples will watch, you know, porn together, I think you could watch kissing together. Like, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea. And I think you can, you know, you can make it about something for you together to enjoy. Or you could totally. Also say like, tonight I want to be in charge and I want to tell you how I want to be kissed. And,
ooh.
Yeah.
You have a lot of good ideas. You must be a romance writer.
I do. I have a romance book coming out in March. I'm working on another one. Everybody's kissing in all these books. Kissing is so weird, though. Nick, now that I'm thinking about kissing, I like, ugh, it's just such a strange thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk kissing. Give us some kiss tips.
Give us all your kiss tips.
Yeah. All right.
Next email. I just turned 32 and I've been married to my husband for 3 years and change. We first started dating when I was 22 and still in college. A couple of months ago, I felt like I felt like a switch flipped and I want out. It feels more like we are roommates than spouses. The physical spark has gone out and I just don't have the energy or interest to put in the work to relight the fire. While I'm sure that some of these feelings are the result of quarantine and spending every minute of every day in the same house for over a year, I can't help but wonder if what I'm feeling is just part of being with the same person for a long time, or if I'm longing for the independence I didn't have in my 20s and missing out on, quote, sowing my wild oats. I'm currently in therapy, so I do have a professional to talk to. However, I haven't worked up the courage to bring this up with them as I haven't figured out what to do with these feelings. I don't have any friends that are divorced that could give me perspective from the other side, if you will. Any advice or opinions are greatly appreciated. I'm so thankful for the safe space you've created for myself and many others to reach out for help from our, quote, friends.
Hmm. Okay. I think that quarantine has taken its toll on relationships around the world. This is not to say it hasn't also been very hard for people not in relationships, but in this specific instance, I think having to just fucking be with somebody nonstop for 18 months, it's a real journey.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, in the middle of the night last night, Anthony shook me awake and was like, "You're really snoring." And I was like, "I'm sorry." And then I just, you know, rolled over. But, you know, he has to put up with that. And he's had no break from that. So.
Yeah.
I would first like to say to this listener that the point of therapy is to figure out things. So you should talk to your therapist because you don't have to have your feelings figured out to talk about things in therapy. The point is to go to your therapist with all the confusing feelings that you haven't figured out. So that is the perfect place to address this first for you. And then I think if you really feel like you want to work on your relationship, I would suggest couples counseling.
Yeah, I think those are both great suggestions. You know, and everyone is different. I mean, I do think that for some people who meet their spouses in their early 20s, and, you know, you're still doing so much growing and changing in your 20s and even in, you know, into your 30s. I mean, we're always growing and changing, but I think especially our 20s are just tumultuous. And sometimes I think people and their partners don't grow in the same way. And then you kind of get to your 30s and you're like, well, wait a second. This person who I, you know, had so much fun with or had so much in common with in my early 20s, like, we've kind of grown apart, and like, that's okay. It happens a lot. So I just, you know, I think like, yeah, you should do all the things that Kate says, but I also think like, if you decide to get divorced, like, that's fine.
Totally. I agree 100%. Yeah. And honestly, like, there might not be a reason that you're able to pinpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't necessarily, I feel like sometimes, you know, like relationships dissolving, we feel like we have to solve why it happened. And there might not be a clear cut answer as to why you are feeling the way you're feeling other than it has run its course and it's moving on to the next phase of life, which is not being together. And I am not divorced, but my divorced friends seem very happy with their decision. So maybe some divorced people can weigh in here because I've only heard positive things.
Yep. All right. Let's take another break.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, we are back with an email. Hey, I remember you talking about a digital calendar a few weeks ago on the pod. Which one did you get? I am considering getting one for my family. Kate, since you are the originator of this, do you want to take it away? Then I will chime in.
Yeah, it's called a skylight. It is a skylight frame. So it's like a digital photo frame that can also be a digital calendar. Or excuse me, they make digital photo frames, but then they also make something that's like a digital calendar, a touchscreen digital calendar that, you know, sits like a digital frame. I got it because the way my brain works is that I'm constantly searching for the next solution to solve all my problems, especially my organizational problems. And it turns out nothing will ever solve them because truly the problem is within me and I just have to accept that. Then this calendar did not change my life.
Oh, really? Do you still use it?
I still have it, but I don't, like, it just sits there. Nobody looks at it. It's just
That's
on.
Interesting.
Has it changed your life?
It actually has helped us a lot.
Okay, see, now this is really good feedback because it may not work for my family, but it's working for you.
So one of the issues that we were having is that I was keeping Henry's calendar, but a lot of his activities were things that he was doing with his nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not like on that calendar. I guess she could have kept like a Google calendar, but I think she doesn't have Gmail. So, you know, it was just sort of like logistically complicated. And so what's been nice about the digital calendar is she can just glance at it and be like, oh, Henry has a swimming lesson today, or, oh, Henry has speech therapy today, or whatever. And it's really helped her kind of keep track of his stuff. The other thing that has been helpful for two things. One is people know when I'm recording.
Mm-hmm. So people will be quiet.
So people will be quiet because my office is right next to the kitchen. So it's like, okay, just keep it down. And then I think Matt will also look at it to see, like, he'll be like, oh, you're playing Mahjong tomorrow night, or, you know, whatever. Like, it's also been helpful in that regard. But yeah, it has been really helpful. Now, one thing I will say, which, you know, you kind of inadvertently alluded to this in your when you were talking about it, but the Skylight Frame and the Skylight Calendar are the same product. They send you the same thing. And I will say my only gripe with this product is that I found it very hard to set up. The instructions that came with it were not clear. The like URL they send you to didn't work. Like, there were just, I was like, what is happening? And then, so I finally like Googled, how do you set this up? And what I didn't realize is I was setting it up as a frame, not as a calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wait, where's the calendar? And then it was like, send your photos to like this email. And then I was like, no, I want the calendar. And then there was no way to switch it back. I had to like email their help desk to be like, what do I do? And they were like, oh yeah, there's no way to switch it back. We have to do that for you manually. And I was like, this is a design flaw.
Yeah, that is annoying.
So I feel like they need to kind of get their shit together in terms of the setup. But other than that, once I got it set up, I found it very easy. It synced very easily with my Google Calendar. You can also delete things just from the calendar and it won't delete from your Google calendar. Like if there's stuff that's just like not relevant, like, you know, sometimes I'll have like Forever 35 newsletter and it's like, that doesn't need to be on the family calendar schedule. And so I can just take it off the calendar. So.
All right.
I would say overall, yes, overall, I'm a fan just, and maybe I am like, maybe other people do not have the issues setting it up that I did, but I found the setup to be very cumbersome. All right. On a totally different note, we have a voicemail.
Hello. I'm driving in the car with my toddler and I'm listening to the most recent mini episode. My name is Stephanie. I am from Ontario, Canada, and you just mentioned Voyage of the Mimi. And I have to say, we watched this in my grade 5 science class in Ontario, Canada. So it made it to Canada. I don't know if it made it to the rest of the U.S., but it made it here. And I remember seeing Ben Affleck. And at the time, he was famous. So our teacher explained who he was. And then we got to watch Voyage of the Mimi. And we watched a bunch of episodes and had to journal it. It was great. But I just had to call and tell you that. So thanks. That just brought me a little bit of nostalgia for my morning. And I hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
So I went through the voicemails, texts, and emails we received about the Voyage of the Mimi because I will tell you, this was one of the hottest topics we've discussed on the podcast recently.
It really was.
We received so many messages about this. It really cracked me up. So here's a rundown of the places where we heard from listeners that they viewed the Voyage of the Mimi. Illinois, Virginia. We had a ton of people in Minnesota, like at least six. Nebraska, California, New York, Texas, New Jersey, Louisiana, Arizona, Connecticut, Massachusetts, of course, Washington State, and Colorado. I mean,
wow.
Who knew it had that much of a reach? And I went back today and started rewatching the first episode and there's some really great, like thick Cape Cod accents. And it's just reminds me of my family, really. I have a lot of fishermen in my family and it was a real treat. And Ben Affleck is very adorable and he's got like the slightest Boston accent. Like you can hear the Ben Affleck that we all know and love shining through. So I have linked to that episode in the activity of the week. So if you want to just see what the hell we're talking about here and also learn some science along the way.
I also was floored by this information because like you, I assumed wrongly that it was a New England thing.
I think because it's set in the Cape.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually was produced by Bank Street Productions, which is out of New York City. I mean, listen, I was on the Wikipedia page today.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't made by, I thought it was made by Boston Public Television, but or Massachusetts, you know, WGBH, but it was not. So the more you know.
The more you know.
Well, we thank you for listening to this podcast where we talk about skincare and educational videos from the early 90s.
All right, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.